following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
John Gruden here, and this fall I'm teaming up with Corona to be part of their Find Your Beach for the Game promotion. Why'd Corona want me? Probably because of how easily I use words like hombre and mano a mano when I'm calling a game. Truth is, Corona needed my help finding the 30 best destinations to experience football, and we want to send you to one of them. See, a beach is wherever you want it to be, and mine's at a football game in cities where smash-mouth football is baked into their DNA. Like in Green Bay, where it's negative 20 degrees and diehard fans still find their beach before kickoff. Or down in Knoxville, where tailgating is as common as the Sea of Orange. That's my beach. Just visit Facebook.com/Corona and enter for your chance to win a trip to one of 30 game day destinations. Good luck. Or as Corona might say, buena suerte.
No purchase necessary. Trip awarded as travel voucher. Residents of 49 U.S. states and D.C. 21 plus only. Void in California and where prohibited. Mailed entry deadline November 7, 2012 for last drawing. Complete details and rules at www.facebook.com/Corona. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Please drink responsibly.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad you're back from the Labor Day holiday weekend. And we are ready to talk some football here on the Doug and Daddy Show. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Coming up in the second half of the program, we're really going to break down the Huskers. We're about 5 minutes away from talking to Daryl Morris and Tony Harper, UNK and Hastings College football coaches, as we do every Tuesday. This will be the only Tuesday, obviously, that we won't have Husker feedback right off the get-go just because of the Labor Day. That's why we have the coaches on Tuesday to preview their games. But Monty Kratzenstein joined me in studio today. We were both at the ball game on Saturday, and the biggest concern to me, injuries. I was even surprised a little bit by the offense. And the one thing that I want to take a look at there, Monty, is that so overreaction Tuesday, so many people, as we knew it would be, so many people saying to me over the weekend, man, could you believe Taylor? Could you believe that? Yeah, I could. I've been sitting here for 8 months telling you Taylor Martinez isn't going to be a problem. And again, it's just one game, so we'll see. Didn't expect Brent Maher to miss a couple of kicks. Didn't expect the kickoff return. Overall, though, pretty good performance on a heck of a hot day in Lincoln Saturday.
Oh, very much so. I don't think you could expect much more from a season opener. There's so many questions. You know, it was so interesting going into this game how quiet the fall camp was. I felt sorry for the media trying to create stories. You know, if all they could talk about was Taylor Martinez and his footwork and mechanics, you know it's a slow fall camp. But really an impressive performance. I love the overreaction, though. Don't you love that? I mean, we're either going to win the national championship or everyone should be fired.
Oh, that's exactly right. Oh, my gosh, the defense. And, again, sitting here, I'm not surprised if folks have been listening to the show. They've listened to our opinions. They've been asking our opinions. And by our, I mean mine and all the co-hosts, and you've been in here. What you think? Well, the offense, I thought it'd be very good. The line looked very good. The defense, I was a little surprised in the first half how much they gave up. But, again, it's week one, and there are a lot of improvements to be made. And 49-20 is a heck of a score.
Well, this was a unique situation for the defense, too, because of the lack of preparation, the lack of knowing what you're going to face. All new staff, all new offense, three potential quarterbacks you're going to face with different sets, with different formations. You had to play the what-if game. And you heard the coaches talk about that, where they might have actually over-prepared, which is not the worst thing in the world. Yeah. But they had to be ready for anything. You saw constant adjustments being made on the sideline based on the personnel that Southern Miss was running in, the packages they were running in. So I don't think you can ever look at a one game and color it with a big broad brush, but this one especially because of the dynamics of what we were facing, I don't think you could do that.
And they could face kind of the same deal with UCLA. At least they'll get one game film from last week against Rice with new coach Jim Moore.
Well, Jim Moore and the offensive coordinator there are a little bit more of a well-known entity. You know kind of what you're going to get. You also know a little bit more about the UCLA personnel, and you're going to get spread offense, you're going to get speed, you're going to get big plays. You know, it's a little bit easier. It gets easier each week as far as the preparation is concerned.
UCLA not even receiving a vote in this morning's AP Top 25. I find that a little bit astonishing. And Nebraska sets at number 16 in the poll. Alabama takes over for USC because of that thrashing they gave Michigan in the first quarter. I thought after that it was pretty evenly played, but Alabama also had the game in hand. USC, LSU, Oregon, Oklahoma. Maybe for Nebraska fans, you can compare that game to the Rose Bowl when Miami of Florida just trounced Nebraska. What was it, 2001, Eric Crouch's Heisman year? They got on you so early, and then maybe it was a little more even, but they really controlled the ball game. So some interesting things to look at in week one.
Yeah, definitely. It's not surprising. By the way, Alabama, that's big boy football.
Oh.
That is just everybody wants to talk about running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, their offense and defensive lines, and the way those guys come up and fill in the secondary on run support. It is big boy football, and nobody ever talks about the Alabama quarterbacks. Think about that. I mean, shouldn't they be able to recruit some of these flashy, wonderful guys? Well, that isn't their system. They want game managers. They want a guy who gets off the bus in a bow tie and sunglasses. Did you see that when he got off the bus? We were laughing about that. I said, you know, you better be pretty good if you're going to wear a bow tie and sunglasses getting off the team bus before the game.
You got to be able to handle it. And the question for you a little bit here is, these guys aren't coming in as freshman linemen and dominating the world. There might be one or two occasionally and not just showing up at Alabama. That's how Nebraska used to be able to get it done. What about taking care of the linemen and coaching them up? What's different about that these days?
Well, first of all, you know, it comes down to recruiting depth. I mean, the basic numbers is the more people you have, you're going to have the guys like that are going to leave, the guys that aren't going to develop. But the more you get as freshmen, you know, the more you're going to have as seniors. The thing is, as an offensive and defensive lineman, you have to have guys that have experience. You're right. There's not very many of them that come right in and play right away. You have to develop them. And I'll tell you right now that there isn't a team that's going to win a conference championship this year that's not going to have an experienced offensive line. You know, that's held tried and true throughout the years.
Well, we'll talk more Huskers coming up in a little bit, but as we do on this Football Tuesday, it is UNK and Hastings College. UNK, a game in the book. Hastings has one more to go, and they will get things started on Saturday. So UNK head football coach Daryl Morris joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Well, we've had a little time to digest what happened in the season opener, and I guess my thought was, as I looked at everything, that UNK football may have been the better team, but you hit it on the head a couple of times. There were a couple of snafus that influenced what happened that game.
Yeah, you know, we had our chances, and for the most part, you know, somewhat pleased with the way we played, a pretty good football team, but a couple of key mistakes at the absolute wrong time, and that's what about every game ever comes down to, is about 5, 6, 7 plays, and unfortunately, the 5, 6, 7 plays, you know, 3 or 4 of those were on us, so it didn't help us in terms of winning the ball game.
Doug Dudamounty, Kranzenstein with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Daryl Morris, talk a little UNK football. You've had some time to look at the film, and you're obviously moving on to Emporia State. But now that you've had some time to digest a Thursday night game, what were some of the things you've seen?
Well, you know, obviously we played very well defensively. They had 35 yards rushing up until their last drive. And in the last drive, you know, our guys were spending a fair amount of time trying to strip the ball. And a lot of times when you're trying to do that, you're not wrapping up and tackling real well. So pretty pleased with our defense. We felt like they were the dominant defense on the field for the most part, especially up front. We did a nice job really on both sides of the ball up front. And, you know, Eric Kaiser played for the most part pretty well. Second half did not go through his read progressions as well as we'd like him to do, and he's going to continue to struggle with that and develop as he gets more time under his belt. But, you know, it's a game that we felt like we let get away from us. It's a game we felt like we played well enough to win and should have won, but we did not, so move on to the next one.
Coach Monty Kratzenstein here. Can you talk a little bit about your special teams? I know there's a lot made after the game of some of the snafus that went on, but at the same time, I'm sure there's some good things too.
That's something I've been concerned about all fall because when Justin Swedberg unfortunately broke his leg during the summer, he's our long snapper, and the long snapping duties fell on some guys that were just trying to learn it as we went through fall camp. Like Adam Lehner, who's a wide receiver, showed a little bit of ability to do it, so we kept coaching him. But every now and then he'd let one fly, and I was concerned about our ability to do that consistently, and that did come back and get us. Earlier in the game, Tommy Flanagan did a great job of scooping one up off the ground when he was standing in the end zone and got it punted out of there. That probably should have been blocked. And then the one that ended up on their 8-yard line, couldn't have been at the worst time. We had just gotten a fumble back from them and then turned right around and give them the ball on the 8-yard line. And that pretty much sealed our fate in the ball game. Once they scored on that one, it was going to be difficult for us to win the game.
What, obviously you've been working on this, and now it's 1 week at a time. So what can you do in 10 days to get ready for Emporia from that particular standpoint?
Well, what we did was we sent Swedberg to the doctor's office and had him take those screws out of his leg. and we're going to try to have him ready to go at least to be able to long snap for us against Emporia State, and then hopefully start working into the lineup on defense the following week. So that's one thing we're going to try to do, obviously. And even our other backup snapper, Nate Olson, was not available for this game. So both those guys should be available this week, so hopefully that'll clear itself up a little bit.
Well, things started well, Darrell. The kids moved the offense. As you said, you got a new quarterback in there. They moved it right down the field three times.
Yep. The first drive was a great drive for us. It used a lot of time. It spent a lot of energy of the Washburn's defense. They were gassed, and that was one thing that we went into the ball game trying to tell our kids is that we were going to run them out of gas, and I think we effectively did that in the first half. And just not being able to get the ball in the end zone and then lining up a true freshman kicker and, him not being able to get her done, that was a huge momentum swing for them after having given up a bunch of plays and a lot of yards and, that kind of stuff. So, we've got some young kids. They're going to have to grow up quick. They're going to have to continue to develop and get better and take coaching, and hopefully that'll equal out to some better days for us.
A lot of new names on this roster that played well. A couple in there in Crop and Dex that we've seen before, but some names that maybe were on the team the last couple of years but really stood out, especially on that defensive side of the football, as you said.
Yeah, they some of those kids did step up. You got Ricky Minier, you got Greg Sherwood, and Jason Wilcox is playing a lot more than he did last year for us up front. And again, I thought the guys up front really played well. Dex Swigert was unblockable. They didn't have anybody that could block Dexter, and he played very well for us. So we're going to have to continue to lean on the defensive guys, and we're going to have to be able to keep the other team in check while we're still trying to get a couple positions on offense sorted out and get those kids developed and get them up to running full speed.
Coach, how's your health of your team after game one?
It's a little bit, at first I thought we were going to come out of it in pretty good shape, but it looks like Parker Jolly's going to have some knee surgery, so he's probably going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks. And his backup, Cody Wheeler, who started the ball game for us, has an AC sprain. He'll get an injection on Saturday, and we'll just have to wait and see. So I could be down centers 1 and 2, and that's going to be a shell game on the offensive line, and that looks like what our season's going to probably be. Just lack of depth is going to be the Achilles heel of our program, and we've kind of been aware of that.
Talking with Darrell Morris here for just another minute. Let's look at Emporia State. They had an impressive win on opening night as well. Where are their strengths?
Well, their quarterback is a good football player. They rely on the quick passing game. He appears to be able to understand what he's looking at and who's coming and where they're coming from. He gets rid of the football very quickly. He's got some kids that can catch the ball and do some things with it. So it's going to be a quick passing game for them offensively. And then defensively, we got to hang our hat on the no huddle. We got to see if we can cause some confusion. They appear to be a little bit slow sometimes getting lined up, even on teams that are coming out of the huddle. So we hope that we can maybe cause some confusion with them in terms of formations and where the tight end's at and that kind of thing, cause a Chinese fire drill on their side of the football. But they run well on defense, but hopefully we can get some guys going and get the no huddle going.
I hate the term must-win games because unless you're in the playoffs, there is no such a thing. But obviously, when you look down the road, the next two opponents are going to be top five opponents. This is the home opener. We don't need too much character building through losses. And I know you guys wanted to win last week and get off to that good start. From a pressure standpoint, I know these kids know what's coming. How do you handle that part of it?
Well, I think, you know, I had a conversation with our captains yesterday, and we're all on the same page. They understand that right now, if you look at strength of schedule, I would say the University of Nebraska at Kearney has the toughest schedule in the United States in Division II football right now. And, if we can come out of it 1-3 or 2-2, I mean, we're going to have to feel really good about that. But if you look at the entire schedule, we're heavy-laded in the front part, and then we're a little bit softer in the back end. So my concern is coming out of this stretch of our schedule and not having enough healthy guys to win games that I think we probably should win down the stretch of our schedule. So we're just going to have to wait and see how it all plays out. It's a long season. You don't get anything for what your record is after four games. You get stuff with, you know, what's your record after 11 games.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to preparation. We'll talk next Tuesday when the Lopers are 1-1, and we'll see you Saturday afternoon at 2.
Appreciate it, guys.
Take care. Dale Morris, head football coach at UNK. Monty, you've been in these playing situations. Anybody that had played football, as any sport, basically. But as we talked with Daryl a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you start with 20-1-5, and then you got Emporia, who's no slouch either. They were picked right behind the Lopers in the coaches' poll. And so you got all that with the home opener and all the things with the newness, the first time, and you got to win a football game, too. I mean, because you don't ever, I mean, UNK ever being 0-4 to start the football season, and I'll say it, even when they weren't good, and that hasn't happened much under Daryl at all, had never had that kind of a start with that kind of teams in the first month.
Well, you can't think of it like that, though, when you're involved inside that program, because you have to look at what you can control and what you can't control. You can't control the schedule. That's there. Okay, go out and play. The other thing you can't control is injuries, and that's one of the frustrating things. When you hear him talking about the lack of depth, I mean, it's crazy to think of playing against these good teams and being a Division II school and being down to a guy and, you know, who they're coaching to snap the ball, a long snap. It's such an important aspect of any game, let alone a college football game. You know, going into this week, you know, if they're down their top two centers in a no-huddle shotgun situation, I mean, that's a struggle. And but, again, as a coach, you can't control those things. You just have to coach and do the best you can. Quit looking at kind of the big picture and kind of narrow it down to what you can do this week.
And talking with the coaches, again, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole long snapping, how big a deal it is. And obviously we know how big the center spot is. It's not the snapping of the ball. It's the getting in position to block after you snap it, which then, for the long snappers, sometimes you rush it, you bounce it, you hit it. I mean, if you're going through it for that first time, that's what I'm getting from the coaches. It's not so much getting the ball back to the kicker or the holder or the quarterback. It's getting in position so that you're not just getting run over immediately.
Well, it's still one of those things, though. I think what happens is those kids that do that, they start thinking about three or four different things along the way. They know they're going to get hit. They know they're going to have to run down and cover. They know all these things from the protection standpoint. And then they lose a little focus, and then they, as Daryl said, let one fly. All you have to do is know that the kid down in Lincoln that's long snapping is on scholarship. They recruited that kid to do that. They just offered a high school senior a full-ride scholarship to snap the football, long snap, for the next X number of years. Adam True played in the NFL, and what did he do? He was a long snapper. I mean, it's important. People don't realize how important it is until one goes over his head.
So parents, dads, I've been for years I was telling him, teach your kid how to kick the ball.
Don't do that. There's way too much pressure on the kicker. You know, even a stud like Brett Maher can have a bad game. Don't do the kicker thing. Do the long snapper
thing. Well, yeah, now you got to add long snapping in there. You got a kick and you got a long snap. I mean, you're looking to find a way to get on that field and play like you're trying to make a team of the pros. Be good at special teams. Well, if you want to make your high school team, I mean, for years, you know what? Actually, maybe it's happened, because lately I've seen kids that can kick the football. I haven't seen high school teams, even down at the eight-man level, get pressured into having to go for two because they just don't have a kicker. And so now we can add long snapper to that.
Because of the soccer and the importance of soccer and the popularity of soccer, people have kickers. That's not the big deal. it's the snapping and the holding part of it that once again becomes so important. And yet you're absolutely right, you know. Hey, maybe next weekend we'll drive around, we'll see all these dads with their kids in the backyard practicing long snap. You think that's gonna happen?
Instead of throwing the ball in the tailgating, they'll be snapping the ball in the tailgate.
If they were smart, that's probably what they would do.
Doug and Daddy showing our guests taken care of by Burger King. BK is home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Stop by either of the two locations in Kearney at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue. That's right by Kearney Cinema, and includes the huge indoor playground for the kids, or new internet cafe with the free Wi-Fi and high-def televisions in the 56th Street and 2nd Avenue entrance next to Walmart. Of course, BK also in Cozad, North Platte, and Lexington. Hastings College's Tony Harper when we come back.
Tampa Bay and this tight race, maybe Carlos Pena can be a factor. Did you know he's hit 25 home runs against the Yankees over the last 6 seasons, including a grand slam off of CC Sabathia, today's starter? It was at the Trop in the first inning of this year's season opener, the most home runs for any player against the Yankees over that span, 2006 to 2012. Did You Know is brought to you by Exxon and Mobil. At Exxon and Mobil, our smart gasoline helps your engine get better fuel economy. Learn more at fuelprogress.com. Think clean. Now back in the lineup for the Yankees, maybe as a counter to the slugging power of Carlos Pena, Alex Rodriguez will be batting fourth as the DH after missing 6 weeks with a hand injury. Joe Girardi announced his lineups. The Yankees will get reinforcements. Remember, back on July 24th, he was hit by Felix Hernandez pitch. And even though he's gone 0-for in his rehab appearances, the Yankees need him because New York right now just above 500 without A-Rod in the lineup. I'm Amy.
Wednesday night, we get back to football when the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys kick off the 2012 season. Hi, everybody. This is Boomer Esiason of Dial Global Sports. Join Kevin Harlan and me for all of the action of this NFC East rivalry. Will Eli Manning and the defending Super Bowl champion Giants start off strong? Or will Tony Romo and the Cowboys make a statement on the road? Tune in to find out. If it's opening night, it's right here.
Giants and Cowboys, Wednesday night at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A year ago, 6-year-old Nebraska fan Jack Hoffman suffered a seizure. Diagnosed with brain cancer, Jack's story touched Cornhusker All-American Rex Burkhead and the hearts of the Husker Nation. As a result, we at Platte River Radio and other Husker-affiliated radio companies are supporting the sale of Team Jack t-shirts. $10 from each shirt purchased benefits the CureSearch Team Jack Legacy Fund to fight pediatric cancer. Shirts are on sale now, where Husker merchandise is sold at Allen Superstore of Hastings. See complete information at Team Jack on Facebook.
A blend of clouds and sunshine today with a chance of isolated showers and storms late in the day, topping off at a high temperature near 95, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10. Tonight, chance of isolated storms early, low 58. Right now, it's 81.
Doug and Daddy's show. Don't forget our Husker lunch is tomorrow at Cunningham. Steve Sippel will be on hand to discuss the Southern Mississippi game, preview UCLA, most importantly, answer all your questions when it comes to Husker football. Tomorrow from 12 to 1, 11 to 12, we'll be live with the Doug and Daddy show. Come down, order lunch, kick back, and enjoy some Husker football talk. It's every Wednesday at Cunningham's, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, Graham Tire, and Home Federal. They are there for you. Don't forget tomorrow, 11 to 12, we've got a jam-packed show. Sip will join us, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, Rick Squires, UNK Volleyball, and we've got volleyball to talk to because we got the number one and two teams in the country. One is in Lincoln in Division One. Two is at UNK, and I know that scares the bejesus out of Rick Squires because they're number two behind the five-time defending national champion and put number two in the country. That would be something if they could stay there because that means they'd be winning the tough MIAA. Our poll question over the weekend, who was your pick to win the NFC North? Well, 52% took Green Bay. I thought it'd be a little higher. I think Husker fans showing through again here, Monty. 26% took Detroit. Even more than 22 that Husker, took Chicago.
Husker fans are not biased. They don't have tainted opinions. I don't know what you're talking about.
Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Your poll question today at ESPNSuperstation.com is, what is the biggest storyline for the Huskers after defeating Southern Miss? Taylor Martinez passing, Rex Burkhead's knee, Brett Maher's struggles, or the 632 yards of total offense? What is the biggest storyline, Monty, out of all of those four? Taylor's passing, Rex's knee, Maher's struggles, or the offense? I'll vote for Burkhead's knee.
I'll go for offense. I look at the big picture. A lot of offense, a lot of diversity, a lot of plays.
I feel that if Burkhead can't go this week, then there's no reason to play him until Wisconsin. I mean, you got Arkansas State and you got Idaho State. And Arkansas State got rolled by Oregon, and you can't take anybody likely, but I'm just saying there's enough there. But you take Rex Burkhead out of one-third-ish of the season right there.
Yeah, but nobody knows. And by the way, Bo Pelini is not a doctor. I love it. He doesn't want to answer medical questions, and it's so funny. Everybody asks about this, and we were listening to the press conference, and he's talking about Marlo, and Marlo broke his collarbone. He might be out for a couple of weeks. That's a broken collarbone, Chief. I don't know. It's just funny because his job is not to evaluate injuries, and he doesn't even try to. But having said that, Rex Burkhead, what they have to figure out, I mean, I think it'll be a Friday sort of decision to see how it progresses, but we got a couple of pretty good backs behind him. So Rex Burkhead at 80%, is he better than Abdullah or Hurd at 100%? That's what they have to evaluate, is having him even there on the road help with his leadership and that sort of thing, even if he's not going to play 20 plays.
Well, our Tuesday conversation with college football takes us to Hastings College, where, ready or not, here it comes. They do finally get to play on Saturday at Dort, a team that dropped their season opener, and head coach Tony Harper with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, great to have you back on the program. We've been talking the last 3 weeks about getting camp started, where you're at. Obviously, some personnel changes in our talk last week. I want to start there. How are things coming from last week's chat to this week's chat over the last 7 days of practice?
Well, I think pretty good. I think a lot of the stuff that's been going on the past couple weeks has kind of calmed down a little bit. We had a scrimmage on Saturday. We saw some guys in some different roles that was not necessarily expected this early in some of their careers here, but we came out pretty healthy and saw some good things on Saturday.
As you get to, do you have your depth chart? Do you know your starters, or are there a couple places where you're still making decisions?
We feel pretty confident with our starters, with our number ones. There's a couple positions on both sides of the ball, actually, where we're having two or three guys battle for that backup role. To be honest with you, we're kind of probably not going to make that decision finally until Thursday, but we're feeling very comfortable with our ones right now.
Coach, is it an advantage? Do you feel it's an advantage to be able to evaluate a team that you're going to play their first game and you not having played, or is it a disadvantage to not having been out there and played a game when the other team has done that?
Well, I think it's all kind of how you approach it as a coach. You know, if we tell our guys, hey, this is a big disadvantage and we got to make sure we do this, this, and this, then your fear is that the guys are going to be extremely tight on Saturday when they go out there. Then on the flip side, if you tell your guys, hey, guys, it's not a big deal, we're just going to do what we do, then I think you're doing the opponent a disservice and not preparing them. So as a coach, what we've really tried to do is walk that fine line of, one, these guys, you know, Dort has already had their first game. They've got their mistakes out. They've already had underneath the lights with good calls and bad calls going against them, where we haven't been put in that environment yet. But then on the flip side, we're always battling or banging into our guys' heads, hey, fellas, take care of yourselves first. Let's worry about ourselves. And then what happens on Saturday happens. So we've kind of approached it both ways. As a coach, again, we're thinking, you know what, those guys, they've had officials, they've had some bad calls go against them, they've had some good calls go against them, so we've tried to do as much game-like information and atmosphere as we can started last week.
Bad calls? You've never even had those in the regular season. Come on. You never had any bad calls to worry about.
You know, the officials do such a great job. You know, you're true. There may be one missed call a whole season.
You know that our audience is the majority of college officials, right? So that's well done right there.
Tony Harper with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. All right, Harp, considering the situation, this is probably not a bad way. I mean, UNK started against the 20th-ranked team in the country, and however many NAIA teams there are, Dort is right there towards the bottom. Tell us what they do have and how you can keep your team focused since it's game one.
You know, it's kind of from a focus standpoint, they've got a new coaching staff over there, and that was really it afforded us to make our guys pay attention and watch a lot of film on their own leading up to this week's game. You know, what they do defensively, they're running a brand-new scheme. They're running a 3-4, which we see predominantly throughout this league. You know, we're one of the few teams that doesn't run a 3-4, but we can get into it and kind of help our offense and practices from that standpoint. offensively, you know, we finally got their film on Sunday, and dagnabbit, they're running that Georgia Tech spread option stuff, and we never see that. So we've really hammered it into the guys, hey, this is discipline football. We got to do our assignments because, again, we don't see a lot of true option, and that's what these guys are doing. So it's been a lot of time on the board and watching film with our guys.
From that standpoint, you had to be happy that you did have a chance to see that, because I've been in those situations before where all of a sudden a team you prepared for throws out something early in game in the first quarter, and then it's a scramble on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, us as coaches, and I'm sure they're going to have some wrinkles for us because obviously we didn't play last week and they did. You know, they're a week ahead of us from preparation and some different things like that. So we got to keep our composure on the sideline as coaches, because if we start looking frantic and panicking and getting on guys and losing our composure, that just kind of seeps through the whole team. So we got to make sure we stay calm. We got to make sure we prepare these guys for anything that we could possibly see. But on the flip side of that, as coaches, we can't over-prepare. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's get our guys lined up correctly, both offensively and defensively, and just kind of see what happens.
What about the Hastings College wrinkles?
You know, right now we're to the stage that we're just trying to make sure we can line up correctly and hold on to the ball offensively and tackle on defense. So not going to see a whole lot of wrinkles the first week. You know, there's a possibility for next week, but we've had too much of a changeover right now to really do a lot of wrinkles.
Injuries, how are we setting?
You know what? Credit to our training staff. Credit to our guys reported to camp. We're pretty healthy right now. Obviously, we're going to bang around today and tomorrow. So, you know, in football, those things can change overnight. But right now, we're pretty healthy, and we've got all of our ones and twos cleared. So we'll see what happens.
Tony Harper with us for just another minute. Hastings College football coach. Unfortunately for Daryl and UNK, he was able to point out one or two things that he was concerned about going into week one, and they came out to be true in their first game. Do you have any of the same concerns?
You know, we do, and I just got done writing some notes down that I got to talk to the team about. We got to keep banging it in their heads. One, we can't exert too much energy the first snap of the game, meaning our emotions cannot be sky high, because as soon as something bad happens, it's going to be an avalanche. So we got to stay even keeled from a mental standpoint, and then from a technical standpoint, what we're trying to do, obviously you got to tackle on defense and play disciplined football with this option game. Two, they do some things on offense where they're bringing pressure that we don't do that our offense hasn't seen, so we got to make sure we communicate. And then the third thing is special teams. That's where you're going to win or lose the first couple games of the season, so we got to make sure we're sound in that and spend a lot of time this week getting those things cleaned up.
After talking to Daryl Morris, how's your long snapping situation, Coach? That seems to be the topic of the day.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Casey Malafu and Jordan Consbrook, we feel pretty good about those guys. Now, we got to make sure our punter catches the ball and things like that. But right now, we're feeling okay.
All right, buddy. Well, best of luck against Dort. Mike Will and the gang will have the call at 1 o'clock, kickoff on the road on Saturday, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. Where they go out, and again, their schedule is like the opposite of UNK's. Six teams that on a normal Saturday, healthy and everybody that they should have had, I mean, they were picked third in the conference. They'd be 6-0, and their tough schedule is the last three of the last four games, the nationally rated teams, the conference rivals and such. So see if they can get off to a good start with Dort on Saturday.
You know, that's their focus won't be a problem. Focus is never a problem on the first game of the year. Like he said, it's interesting to say at all levels how you have to try to keep that emotion down, positive and negative emotion down, especially early. Everybody's all excited to play, waiting to play, and then something good happens or something bad happens, and then what?
Monty Kratzenstein joining me, Doug Duda, on the Doug and Daddy Show here today. Polls are stupid. They're just stupid. We'll discuss that and get into the Huskers a little more. Plus, the volleyball teams are doing so good. We're going to talk about that. It's all coming up. Stay with us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, it's The Herd. In business, we're constantly collaborating with colleagues and clients. We got to share files like contracts, presentations, spreadsheets. It's essential these important files are kept safe and secure and under your control. That's why I recommend ShareFile by Citrix. Easy to use, business solution that allows you to exchange files quickly and securely. With ShareFile, you can send files of almost any size without the bounce backs. Those are a headache. Control who has access to your files and the levels of permission they have. It syncs automatically, so you and your team will always have the most updated material. And you can access ShareFile from anywhere. Laptop, tablet, smartphone, work, on the go, anywhere. Try ShareFile right now. Sign up today and get a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com. Click on the radio mic, enter Colin. ShareFile.com and type in Colin, C-O-L-I-N.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, they offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts, subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered to FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A blend of clouds and sunshine today with a chance of isolated showers and storms late in the day, topping off at a high temperature near 95, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10. Tonight, chance of isolated storms early, low 58. Right now, it's 81.
Tanner in the gun, gets the snap, bobbling the handoff as Burkhead retrieves it, 45, 50, breaks the tackle, 40, 35, 30, 20, caught from behind is Burkhead, and he's wrestled around, and he stumbles into the end zone, touchdown! Rex got spun around, but backpedaled in for 6 points. Back to throwing a play action. Tater looks downfield, throws, pass, caught, Quincy Anunua in Southern Miss territory at the 42. Still on his feet, still fighting forward, still dragging defenders all the way down to the 33-yard line. That is good, tough running by Quincy Anunua for 27 yards. Tater gets the snap, looking left, throwing down deep toward the end zone as a man. Kenny Bell makes a catch, touchdown Nebraska. Kenny Bell finds the end zone. Tater Martinez with a beautiful throw. It's 13-0 Big Red. Man in motion as the tight end, McDermott. Tater fakes the handoff, rolls, sets, throws, pass, caught, touchdown. Wide open is Jake Long in the back of the end zone, and the Huskers reclaim the lead. Third and 11. Snap back to Campbell. Here's a blitz. Compton's got him, throws him down. Will Compton with a sack for the Big Red. Snap back, Tater looking left, sets, throws deep downfield, looking out there for Quincy, and then what goes up, and he hang on? Yes, touchdown. What a catch, Stephen Osborne. Wins each way. Opening drive of the third quarter, 28-17, Big Red. Fumble, ball loose in the turf, picked up by the Huskers. Alonzo Whaley's got that football, and the Huskers have forced a turnover at the 42-yard line. Tater gets the snap, takes the handoff, looking at a field, has Kyler Reed down in the end zone. The pass is caught. Touchdown, Nebraska. Kyler Reed pulls it in, and the Huskers have 34 on the board. Turns. Hands it off to Braylon. Up the middle, Braylon to the 5. Touchdown, Huskers. Braylon Hurd through the wide-open gap up the middle for the score. Tater looking, sets, throws, pass. Amir Abdullah makes a catch. He is in. Touchdown. What a grab by Amir Abdullah for 6 more points.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Udall along with Monty Kratzenstein. We made our picks over the weekend, Jeffrey. I can't believe it. I needed Boise State. I needed Boise State. We've been defeated in the first week. Is that what happened?
You betcha.
Matt from Funk, 9-2. I went 8-3. Randy Bushcutter, who was co-hosting on Friday and will do so tomorrow, 6 and 5. I'm having him on tomorrow, Monty, because we'll be making our NFL predictions, and I always want to have somebody on that I can beat.
A 6 and 5 opener, huh?
And defending
that's a tough one for Randy.
Defending champion Merritt, 7 and 4. Producer Jeff, 7 and 4. So Matt only has to beat me and our co-host, and he hammered that. I will give Randy credit. He was closest on the tiebreaker. He picked 70. Nebraska Southern Miss, and it was 69. 49-21 is what he picked, and it was 49-20. So Randy gets credit for that. But the two that Matt missed were Tulsa against Iowa State and Colorado. Colorado State won that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won it in the fourth quarter with a nice drive.
And the ones I missed were Colorado. I took Penn State and Boise State. So,
so you took Colorado?
Yeah, I took Colorado. I missed that one.
Serves your right to lose.
Well, I know. Cody Green got off to a good start for Tulsa, and then not so much after. He was like 12 of 17, 122 yards. And he was like 2 of 7 for 12 yards for his next 7 passes. And then I'm not sure they even ever scored again. So, congratulations to Matt. He not only wins the Big Daddy's Deli, the Doug and Daddy t-shirt, but he wins the $20 gift card to Cunningham's. Every week, $20 gift card goes in from Cunningham's. If the caller does not beat us, then we roll it over. 40, 60, 80. Chance to win the 70-inch big screen TV at the end of the year Super Bowl party and a whole lot more. So congratulations to Matt. He picks up the win. Talking about stupid polls, though, Monty. You know.
You really want to go here now?
Well, just briefly, because it has to be touched on. Okay, so Boise State was so bad that they led Michigan State the whole game virtually and lost by 4 to one of the best defenses in the country on the road. And so they're terrible. They have to drop out of the poll. And Michigan, this was like the game of the year already. I don't know. It depends how bad you like. But they're so bad they had to drop 11 spots for losing to the number one team in the country.
One word. Knee jerk. Oh. Knee jerk reaction. There we go.
It's just so stupid. All of a sudden, Michigan is worse than Nebraska. Nebraska won. Michigan lost. Nebraska's ranked ahead of them. Virginia Tech had to go overtime to beat Georgia Tech at home. They don't move at all. They just hang there. So, polls, I like the polls. I don't mind the polls early on because it does give you something to talk about. But give me something to talk about. Don't just automatically drop Michigan 11 spots because they lost. Don't just automatically not move Virginia Tech because they didn't lose.
I'm still convinced that there's an AP top 25 poll for this reason, to get people like you upset. That's the only reason why they still do it, is they want to give you something to talk about.
Well, John Cook has the right mentality. He mentioned it yesterday in his press conference down in Lincoln. Of course, Husker volleyball team is ranked number one. He goes, they're like number 10 in my poll. He goes, there's the coaches poll, there's the John Cook poll. Because he had said in the preseason, he goes, I have us 12th because that's where we ended up last year. One interesting tidbit, and John Cook has a way to get his point across. I'm not even sure how to say this. He doesn't get real mean or pointed at it, but he'll say some things like, you know, I know Nebraska football is number one in the state, but we're ranked number 2, and they're like 18th. Come out and support us as well. He has never voted in the coaches poll. 19 years, he goes, I've never been asked. He goes, I'll go to their clinics. I put on their free things. I do this. I do that. He goes, I've never been asked to vote in their poll.
So they're therefore, once again, why there's no credibility in polls. You just topped your argument there, and you're absolutely right. You know, John Cook is a psychological master. If you've watched him coach, or if you've been around him at all, and you talk to any of his players, he is the guy that he is constantly pulling strings. He's constantly working on their psyche. He's constantly doing all those things without looking like he is. He's amazing. He's very, very good at that. And unfortunately, because he's a volleyball coach, probably in the big picture, United States, people don't pay attention to that. In Nebraska, they certainly do, because it's a big deal. But that guy, and he is so competitive. That's why he mentions that, is because, you know, he's good friends with Bo Pelini. He's good friends with a lot of those guys on the staff, you know, and they intermingle. And they throw their digs at each other. And it's really fun to watch them when they get at each other a little bit, because they have this mutual respect, because they're
they're good at what they do.
They're the only ones that can kind of mini-roast each other and get away with it.
Yep.
And for the Huskers, Duquesne, Oklahoma, Kentucky. Of course, Kentucky's head coach, a former assistant for coach. And so you can check all of that out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. UNK is home this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Loper volleyball team went 3-0 in Hawaii, dropping only one set. And we'll talk with Coach Squires about that on the show tomorrow. But they're home Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for four matches.
How about Kearney Catholic's performance this week? Weekend at the high school level.
I am expecting them to be in the all-class top 10 when the Omaha World Herald updates their rankings on Thursday.
They should be. And that's one neat thing about volleyball is these coaches, in a lot of cases, figure out a way to play good talent. They play in these tournaments and it isn't set so far ahead of time. And that's what's fun about volleyball is you can see those teams play cross class.
It's easier to tweak your schedules for maybe a wrestling and a volleyball and on occasion a basketball where you can at least move one or two things, and that's what Kearney Catholic did. They went in, they beat Waverly twice, who was number one in B. They beat Lincoln Pius X, who was number three in Class A and the defending B champion. They beat Ogallala. They just went a perfect 6-0 over the weekend to win that Beatrice tournament. And tonight, Kearney Catholic and Minden will be traveling to Gibbon. All of those teams have started the season undefeated. Minden won their own invite. Gibbon, maybe even a little surprise, went over to Ravenna, won two matches with their new coach and a lot of just not a very deep team. And we'll see that tonight. You'll hear it all on Classic Hits 98.9 beginning at 5 o'clock. Let's get back to the Huskers here a little bit, though. Monty Kratzenstein joining me on the Doug and Daddy Show. Plus, we got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. So don't forget a chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's. Nebraska, do we start moving forward, or are we looking back? Where are we at now from preparation to UCLA to concerns fixing what we had to fix from Saturday against Southern Miss?
Well, from a fan standpoint
from
a coach's standpoint?
No, from a coaching standpoint.
We've moved on. You know, that's the great thing about having that tape and the Sunday meetings and the film and the evaluation. They put a lot of good things on tape to evaluate. A lot of us sitting in the stands or watching up in the press box don't notice a lot of the mistakes that were made. We also don't notice a lot of the really good things that happened if it didn't lead to a big play. So there's been a lot of teaching done the last couple of days. They're moving on to UCLA. Again, with the injury factor, you know, the Marlowe out and Burkhead we don't know about, and Ben Cotton's injury, you know, they got a little rib stuff there going on. They have to make those adjustments, but there's a lot of teaching. We got to move on because, again, the goal, people get tired of me saying it, but the goal this week, be 1-0. All you need to do is be 1-0 this week. Style points are nice, but be 1-0.
Far as the being physically able to practice for like a Ben Cotton, he would seem to be a kid that knows everything he's going to know, and we've come through preseason workouts. How vital is it that he actually has to take a snap or two this week?
It's not that vital, especially from a tight end position. You know, those guys aren't very talented, not very smart anyway, those old has-been tight ends. Right? he's seen it all. There's nothing that, you know, he needs to be there for the tweaks and the adjustments and preparation, but he does not have to be there. So it's not a big deal, no.
You can always check out Monty's work weekly with the Kearney Hub. Always enjoy checking out the blogs. If you haven't, your preview was about the defense, and then kind of the post was talking about the amazing offense. Were you concerned at all about the defense? Were they even a little below what maybe I kind of thought that they would be?
I don't think so, just from the standpoint of you can't judge on one game. What I was looking for wasn't necessarily the same things maybe other people were looking for. I didn't care about the statistics. What I cared about was their ability to adjust from, you know, this was a unique game, as we've talked about before, from the standpoint of preparation, knowing what to do. My biggest concern was on-field adjustments, communication, getting certain defensive packages in where you needed to, because we're going to be playing a spread team against UCLA. A lot of these young players that now have seen the substitution packages have had to do the check calls from the sidelines. That makes a big difference. So that's the stuff I was looking for. With the fact that they went up and down the field on us a couple times, I wasn't overly concerned. You know, they ran that wildcat pretty well in the second half. That was kind of a numbers game. You know, they could, if you're playing a really good wildcat team, you're going to do some things from the X's and O's standpoint to take that away. We did do some blitz packages more than what I thought we would do. A lot of times in that first game, you play a lot of base, but because of their formations and what they're doing with their different quarterbacks, it forced us to probably be a little bit more creative on defense. So I was watching to see how many miscommunications there were in busted and busted plays. And really, overall, it was pretty good.
And you got a first-year coordinator, first game for John Papuchis.
Yeah, he has a little bit of energy on the sidelines, doesn't he? People thought that we might be losing a little bit when Carl Pelini left us from that end of it. That's not a problem. But, yeah, the weakness is still the weakness. Do we have enough playmakers on the defensive side, especially in that front group? Do we have the playmakers at linebacker to take the ball away? We only had one turnover, and that was when they kind of dropped an exchange, a quarterback to running back exchange. I guarantee you we need more turnovers for this defense to be able to be good throughout the season.
I think we'll get that opportunity against UCLA as well with the way they run their offense. The coaches' poll is also out. We told you Nebraska is 16th in the AP. They're up to 14th in the coaches' poll this week, sandwiched between Wisconsin and Texas. They actually went ahead of Texas, who they were ranked behind in the preseason polls. Okay, that's good. I don't care what poll it is. Nebraska's ahead of Texas.
I love polls. Have I mentioned that lately? I love polls. Are we ranked ahead of Texas? Good.
In
I love
both
polls.
Wyoming was ahead of Texas for a while. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Be back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway certified pre-owned vehicles are your number one choice for pre-owned vehicles, with complete pre-lot service inspections from the ground up to guarantee top quality. Midway certified pre-owned vehicles also come complete with an already included warranty on top of the factory warranty, and it comes complete with the 30-day exchange privilege, the 6-month, 6,000-mile comprehensive warranty, and the 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, all at no additional cost. It's all there for you. Check out some of the lots, the cars and the vehicles on the lot. Always a big fan of the Camaro. They got a 2012 Chevy Camaro out there, hassle-free to 28.2. Chrysler 200 Limited 2013, the 2012 Jeep Compass, Ram 1500 Laramie, Buick Enclave, all there for you on the lot. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. ThinkMidway.com. It's a better way. Back after this with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
How long is your next cup of coffee going to last? 45 minutes? An hour? Listen, 1 5-hour energy lasts for several hours. Take one in the morning to feel alert past lunch. Take one in the afternoon to feel energized into the evening. 5-Hour Energy is packed with B vitamins and nutrients to make it last. Plus, it has zero sugar and 4 calories. The choice is yours. Cup after cup of coffee or 1 5-Hour Energy. For more information, go to 5hourenergy.com.
Individual results may vary.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
A blend of clouds and sunshine today with a chance of isolated showers and storms late in the day, topping off at a high temperature near 95, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10. Tonight, chance of isolated storms early, low 58. Right now, it's 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Tomorrow, the Husker Lunch will be live at Cunningham. Stop by and see us. Steve Callahan, or Steve Sipple. That'd be crazy. We've morphed him. Steve Sipple will be on this week. Sean Callahan next week. And back and forth we go every Wednesday at Cunningham. Stop by for lunch. Monty Kratz is tied with me here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tiger Woods became the first $100 million man when he made just a little over $540,000 yesterday. $100 million in his career of actual golf earnings.
Yeah, but look at the tax bracket he has to be in. Who wants that?
Well, I'm guessing Mama probably gets a good chunk of that anymore. So, you know, he needs to do what he needs to do is the story there. We've talked Huskers, Lopers, and Hastings College Broncos. We've talked of volleyball. Soccer, UNK split their two games to open the season over the weekend. Their home opener tomorrow night against Midland University. Hastings men and women, they wanted the competition, but they dropped all their games over the weekend. The men fell to Oklahoma Science and Arts, ranked 7th, 2-1, and to 11th ranked Bethel, 4-3 in double overtime. The women fell to number 2 Concordia, 2-0, and to number 4 Embry-Riddle. Embry-Riddle.
Is that a guy or is that a team?
It's a school. 4-2 they lost.
Where was that school from Oklahoma? Science and Oklahoma Science and Arts.
Science and Arts. Yeah. And Hastings is just Hastings. They're just there.
You need a more creative name, I think. Maybe Hastings, if they want to compete with those teams, they got to flash up their name a little bit.
It is pretty amazing some of the schools that you do come across. Saw Luke McNitt on the Husker sideline on Saturday, Monty. Haven't talked to Luke about that or the family, but that means automatic interest from the Big Red. I mean, he wasn't just standing there with a ticket. He had the credentials on.
Yep, obviously, I would assume they'd look at him as maybe linebacker, fullback candidate is what I would assume. Maybe I'm assuming too much. Maybe he is a quarterback guy. But, yeah, you look at it, he's one of the better players in the state of Nebraska as a high school football player. So certainly that's enough to get him looked at as a potential walk-on there.
Ron Kellogg got into the game on Saturday as the backup quarterback, basically just turned and gave it to Amani Cross. What about some of those guys that you saw? Either just I'm going with the guys that don't get a lot of playing time or a freshman that might have got in.
Well, when you looked at the receiving core, that was interesting because there were so many different guys they played. They were running them in and out as fast as a tempo. They needed a break in a hot day like this.
But, Wollenwobber.
Wollenwobber. And you know, the interesting thing, I was talking on the sidelines before the game, in a poll before the season, you know, like polls, right? A player poll before the season, his name was up there with Kenny Bell as being one of the fastest guys on the team. Wollenwobber. I'm telling you right now, the guy can flat out fly. And he caught the pass, and everybody's like, who is that? You know, Tyler Evans was another one, the kid from Waverly. He caught a pass long there. Steven Osborne, a guy that the epitome of the fifth-year senior who's had some talent, just kept working, grinding away. You know, we always talk about these guys that are busts. You know, after their second year, people think that they're busts. You know, there was, 10 different receivers that caught balls? That's fun to see, to get them involved in that whole process. I was really obviously looking at running backs, too. It was kind of like the old days where we would just run in a different one. You didn't even know who it was. And they look good. I mean, when Braylon Hurd is your third-team guy, I mean, he's got some talent. And Abdullah was really special in certain plays.
Got a lot more Husker talk tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, but as we do every Tuesday, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Your chance to win a $20 gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. 888-455-3776. 888-455-ESPN. Call now. We've got some trivia questions put together for you, and the first person to get one right is going to get that $25 gift card, maybe to get to all your tailgate needs going on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Ryan.
I want to have some fun today, but I don't want you to have a question that is just so darn hard. You want football or Ryder Cup golf?
Football.
Okay, now it's going to be non-Nebraska football, so here we go. The biggest upset, I would have to say, of the college football weekend happened when Texas State beat Houston 30-13.
True. Is that what we're doing, true-false?
No.
Okay, sorry.
No. Yeah, that's true. That is true, though. What is the mascot at Texas State?
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll give you an easier one next time, Ryan. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Jason.
Jason, Ryder Cup golf is the question today. The Ryder Cup team was announced today. The four
captain's
picks came in. That was Brant Snedeker, Dustin Johnson, as well as Jim Furyk and Steve Stricker. The 1999 Ryder Cup, probably the most famous Ryder Cup of all time. You know, where Justin Leonard made the putt and they all run on the green and it's all crazy. In the singles matches that day, how many did the United States win of those 12?
Four.
Not four. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Scott.
Scott, how many Ryder Cup singles matches did the U.S. win in 1999? Now, there's 12 of them, okay? There's 12 matches for the non-golfers out there. There's 12 matches. How many of them did the United States win that day?
Let's say seven.
It was not seven, but that was closer than four. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
This is John.
John, you know, do you know anything about Nebraska football?
Yeah, but you're not going to give me one of those questions, I know.
Do you know anything about Jim Mora?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's coached at two NFL teams. Who are they?
Both NFL teams?
Yep, both.
As a head coach, he was at Atlanta and I think at Washington.
No.
Seattle.
Should I give him that? Because he said Washington.
Redskins.
And that'd be the Redskins. I got to go to the – because I don't want to make the decision. You two guys give me thumbs up or thumbs down.
I am one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet.
Jeff, what do you think?
Dude, I would say definitely.
Monty says that. See, all of a sudden
I know this guy? Can he get me some food along the way? Wait a minute. Who is this? Just kidding.
You know what? I'm going to be nice and say, yes, we're going to give it to – he coached Seattle Seahawks – and the Atlanta Falcons. And see, now I felt like that was so much easier because the first time I asked it, somebody got it. John, hang on the line. We'll get you the $25 gift card. Be good, buddy.
All right, thanks.
The other answer, Texas State Bobcats. And
no way. I had no idea about
the
that.
The United States won eight of the 12 Ryder Cup matches in 1999. One of these days, we're just going to have to get like two or three golfers on here, or two or three wrestlers on here, or two or three basketball, just so that they think they know everything, and then we just bring them a Jeopardy style deal on here, and that'll be fun. Monty, we're gonna get on out of here. Anything else today?
You know, 1-0 after week one. That's all we can ask for the Huskers. A lot of sports this last weekend. A lot to look forward to. Here we go.
High school football in the books, and Kearney High, as we were mentioned, Luke McNitt, they are 8th and 9th in the two polls. They will play 5th-ranked Lincoln Southwest at home on Friday night. There's many other great matchups to talk about as well, and we will do that tomorrow with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. We'll talk with Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star, Rick Squires, UNK Volleyball, and Randy Bushcutter is going to join me as my co-host as we make our NFL predictions, because the NFL season opener tomorrow, the world champions of last year, New York Giants, take on the Dallas Cowboys. That game is tomorrow night right here on ESPN. Our Husker Lunch tomorrow from Cunningham's. Doug and Daddy from 11 to 12. Steve Sipple from 12 to 1. Come down for any or all of it tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Want to thank Monty for stepping in and co-hosting yet again today, giving us his Husker perspective from the Game 1 victory. And to Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, Hastings College coach Tony Harper. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.